I'm Drea.
I'm Meg.
I'm Tina.
And I'm Jess.
And this is Pardon My Stash. Welcome to Pardon My Stash, a podcast about knitting within the fiber arts and how awesome it is.
Woo!
Before we get into today's topic, let's check out what we're working on this week. Jess?
Well, I was working on the vest and then I got mad at the pattern. So now I'm working on the wrap, which is between the dragon and his wrap. And it's a color work and I love it.
And that's so bright.
Right? Isn't it awesome?
What is that blue?
This blue is Thunderwave.
Is it?
Yeah, it's Thunderwave from Critical Hit Dies and Copper Dragon from Critical Hit Dies. And they're both on Paladin, which is like, I haven't worked with a worsted weight yarn in forever, but it's not so bad. I did go down a needle size because working with nines was like
awful.
No, I just, eights is okay. Eights
broomsticks?
Is all right. It doesn't look like that big of a difference, but it feels like that big of a difference.
I don't like knitting worsted in nines. It just feels too much.
I also felt like it would give a little too much. Like, this is coming out really nice where I'm at.
Can so I think touch I made the right choice. It looks choice. Squishy.
It is super squishy. You may touch it. And I like this one. It's a nice color work.
For the record, it is squishy.
It's super squishy, right? But yeah, so I'm excited about this one. I am doing a little bit of a modification on the middle of the pattern because I wanted the dragon's horns to be longer, so I fixed it because I thought it just looked too flat. So I changed it a little bit. But I haven't gotten that far yet, so we'll see how that works out. But that is what I am working on now, and it's lots of fun. And then at the end, I get to steek it.
Yikes.
Oh,
so we're going to have fun with that, too.
Oh, Lord.
Lots of fun stuff. This is also part of my matchy make-along with Meg now, because we changed. I forgot.
I actually did rows on mine. I'm
Hey!
I'm Yay! Almost to turning the hem on it. Ooh! I'm almost to turning the hem. It's just there. Taking forever, and there's 467 stitches per row.
Once
it's
you
like,
get
it's
to the
lot.
Color work, it's going to be
it's
awesome.
A lot. It's
but
a lot
yeah,
of
no, I admit,
stitches.
When I was... The bottom of this was garter, and it was only like 300 stitches in garter, and I'm like, oh, it's still taking forever. So I can understand.
Tina?
Well, I think I'm doing the same thing as Meg because Meg's also working on her Calliope, so I'm working on a Calliope, and she knows the designer, and I don't.
Nice. Meg, what are you guys working on?
It's Calliope by a Space Trico.
Ha! That.
That.
Tina, tell
me about
your yarn. I was
wondering why you were like, Meg's also doing. I'm like, why is she saying
because
it? Like
I'm
right now,
it.
I didn't realize you didn't
no.
know.
Because
that makes sense.
Because I don't know who the designer is.
Tell me about your yarn.
So I am working my Calliope in the colorway Bless with I believe it's
Druid.
Druid, yeah. I was going through all the classes in my head. Mm-hmm. From D&D.
I know.
And
it's one of them.
I kept wanting to say rogue, but I was like, no, that's a fingering weight. That's wrong. It's Druid DK.
I know.
From Critical Hit Dies, which happens to be at this table.
Meg, tell me about your project.
Good Lord. I am also working. This is my second Calliope. I mentioned before, I wanted to make it without the mohair because as luscious as the mohair is, I am a warm being. And it's much. I'm actually knitting this one out of Fiber Spates Vivacious DK in the colorway Heavenly. I really love this yarn. I really do.
It looks so pretty.
It's I love the color. It's like an undefinable, like there's some purple, there's some blue, there's
it's
a little
really
bit
cool
of pink.
Depending on the light, it does
kind
of
it looks
shift.
Gray when you just look at it yeah. head on, but then when you shift it, it actually does change. There's even like a little bit of peach in there. It's a really cool color.
It's like
opalescent.
Yeah. No, yeah. It is almost. And I'm like knitting this and I'm like, this would look really good with a mohair. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't need two sweaters that are
Bender.
Stifling. Yeah. I just don't.
I also did not do a mohair.
Oh, God. Yeah, I tell you, the fabric is no. of the sweater is so nice, but then you put it on and you're like, and that's enough of that. And I'm done with the collar. I'm doing the raglan increases now. This is like my portable project because that. I'm not doing the same one as her, but I'm also doing a color work to be steeked. And that's not really portable. It's just massive. So it's my portable project.
For now.
It's the one I take to gymnastics, and nice. Nobody talks to me because they're like, look at that weirdo sitting there knitting. What are you working on?
I am still working on the Arachne Shawl by Claire Slade, or Verily Knits. I am using Plies and Hellhounds Penny in Flower Moon and Nightmares. Thank you.
It's a good combo.
It is a good combo. It's orange and black.
Yeah.
And that is my matchy make-along for the matchy make-along with my partner, Tina, who is doing black and orange instead of orange and black.
Yes, I am. Yeah.
Because it's spooky.
It is spooky. It's going to be good. And I'm really enjoying the knit, even though I'm not enjoying it often. It's still good. Be sure to check out our website, pardonmystash.com, for more information as well as pictures regarding our current projects, patterns, and yarns. Welcome to this week's topic. This week, we're going to get a little controversial up in here.
Ooh.
We're going to press some buttons.
And spooky, I guess, because that's what sound digestion.
You're setting the ambiance. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
We're going to talk about pattern and design ethics.
That's right. Get your pitchforks out.
You know when you're on Ravelry and you see some patterns and they look really similar?
Yes, I have seen that. And it is quite interesting seeing two patterns looking very similar to each other. You wonder if they may be inspired or something.
Well, is it inspiration or is it that it's blatant? Like, do you think it's intentional? And how do you feel about it?
I think one of the issues is, like, if you look for a stitch Bible, quote unquote, yeah. for lack of a yep. better word, or a stitch book, mm-hmm. there are only so many.
Yeah.
It is actually really hard to make up a new stitch pattern that has never been used before.
So many ways to stitch a stitch.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I do not believe you can copyright. And I'm sure that someone will tell me if I'm wrong, but I don't believe you can copyright a stitch. I don't think you can do that. You can copyright a color work pattern.
Sometimes you can loophole and copyright the name of a stitch, but then right. someone else can just
change
stitch
the name.
It and change the name.
And you can copy, and some lace patterns are copyrighted. Like you can't pirate those.
It's murky at best,
but yeah. it's I don't know how you can take a stitch out of, say, like the Vogue knitting, whatever the hell it is. I have it downstairs, but God if I know the name. Make a pattern from a bunch of those cobbled together and then say these are mine.
Yeah,
you did not come up with those stitches. Right, you came up with, you put them together, you made the pattern.
Guys, people can't make the notes in a piano. What they make is an arrangement. Those can be
that's
different.
A good point. That's actually a good analogy.
A fair point.
Yeah. You can't steal a note.
Knitting has been around for so long.
Right.
And crafting and crochet and like so many different textile arts have been around for so long. Can you really say that anything is really original anymore?
Well, I don't know, though, because like let's just use, for example, like the just because it's super well known, the Elizabeth Zimmerman baby surprise jacket. It's basically, if you're not familiar with it, it's you knit a piece of what looks like really weird origami, and then you fold it up and you put a little seam in it, and it makes a cute little baby jacket. Nobody can make that same thing and then say, well, this is original. I made this. Everybody knows who made that. Everybody knows that sweater, that exact pattern.
But that's a pattern.
Right. But isn't that what we're kind of talking about to an extent? Like, can you say, if nothing is new, does that mean that everything is up for grabs? Or are there things that we have to say, like, we have to acknowledge this designer made this and we can't pirate it?
So I like to think of my seed dot beanie.
Mm-hmm.
I literally called it the seed dot beanie because it's the seed stitch and it's the dot stitch. And those were pulled from a Bible, right? So the copyright, there is a copyright on there. But the copyright is not for the seed and the dot stitch. The copyright is my arrangement of the notes and the math so that you can produce the same item that I create in the photos. So, and that's how I feel about copyright on any of those things, including the sweater that you just mentioned. If it comes out the same exact way in the same exact directions, like that are written in the same exact way, yeah, I think that's copying.
That's piracy.
That's piracy.
Yeah, yeah, if it's copy paste, but then you also run into the coincidental of someone else who has never seen your work is like, oh man, I like these two stitches together, and there's only so many ways you can math up a beanie.
Correct. Correct. But it would be written differently.
Exactly. Right. But then you would expect.
It would, there's no, it's not even, it's absolutely expected. There's no way that it would be written the same.
Yes.
It might have similar directions. So like you might have to do a similar knit one, purl one ribbing, or the seed stitch where you're knit one, purl one, and then you purl one, knit one, like whatever. Like you may have those similar directions, but the design of the pattern itself, the way the PDF is laid out, if it's accessible or not, yep. Like there's so many, the photos, the colors, the like everything.
Well, the base yarn.
The yarns like that you're using, the gauges, like the needles, like all of that, like would be different no matter. There's so many infinite different possibilities of putting those items together. There's no way, unless you've seen it before, that it would be exactly the same. It could be similar. It could be similar, but it wouldn't be exactly the same. So, and I think that's where it gets murky. Because, you know, then it turns into, okay, well, which one was published first?
Right.
You know, but then you get into, well, the issue of techniques, patterns, and designs that weren't really written down because they're so well known. They're so well thought out.
Right.
You know, for example, my Very Vital beanie is free. Why is it free? Because there is no possible way that my way of thinking of making a simple stockinette beanie is unique. There's just absolutely no way that there isn't somebody out there that has also figured that out, because I know for a fact there is some grandma who used to make stockinette beanies for their grandkids and is not using a pattern, just figured the math out just like I did. Mm-hmm. So that pattern is just, I figured the math out for you. Here you go. And I honestly did that for myself. Because I kept doing it for myself, and I was like, I can't get, I forget.
Tired
I
don't of doing the math every time.
Exactly. So I wrote it down for myself, and I was like, well, I'm not going to, why would I charge for this? This doesn't make any sense. So I saw recently a pattern get called out, and it was literally chain stitch, and then you put it together, and you make a bracelet. Like, that was the pattern. And they were charging $6 for it.
Oh, yikes.
Wait, Jess's face.
Wow. I mean, guys, do a YouTube tutorial. You can make those bracelets, man.
Yeah.
Like,
well, I mean, wow. Yeah, it's like,
wow.
So like, but like, is it wrong? Is it like not ethically like sound? Sure.
Is it illegal?
No.
I judge the person for doing it, and I kind of side eye anyone who's paying $6 for that.
So can I play devil's advocate here really quick? So here's the thing, and I to an extent I agree. Like I don't like the idea of somebody slapping a price on something that they didn't invent, doesn't belong to them. But on the flip side, I remember my early days of knitting and having, first off, no confidence in myself to be able to figure out a complicated pattern, and absolutely no confidence in myself to wing it in any way, shape, or form. Mm-hmm. I would have loved, you know, as I'm sitting there ticking the box of only free patterns on Ravelry, I would have loved some patterns that were more than just like, you know, the simple stockinette to be free. But I also acknowledge that, like, to an extent, like, you did put work into grading that beanie, into making sure that the numbers worked. So to an extent, I can see why somebody who's like, yes, I'm making something that is, it is very simple. I don't own this, but I did put the work in to check my math, and I am providing you with a service that you apparently require enough to want to pay for. Does that make me unethical? I don't know if it does.
So I would say, in that sense, no, it doesn't make you unethical. The unethics about it is, I think, taking advantage of the newbies. Because you're right. As a newbie, you have no idea. You wouldn't say, you would not know that, hey, this, I'm going to go back to my beanie. The stockinette beanie is a very, very typical pattern. It is a very, very typical design that has been made 100 ways to Sunday. So no, you wouldn't know that because you're new to the craft and you would have no idea. So do I think that other people who sell a stockinette beanie for a price are unethical? No, I don't. Because I agree with you about, like, you know, you have to put, you put, I did. I put work into the grading and stuff like that. There was time in that. Is there a sense of, like, duty, maybe is the question, as a veteran, you know, somebody who's been doing this for decades or more.
To pave the way for.
To pave the way for the new noobs. Ones. Yeah. The noobs. Come on now. It's the noobs.
I don't know.
To say, hey, like, you know, we need to make options for things that are insanely
simple,
repeatable or simple or something that's going to help them elevate their own skills. Because, like, I find a stockinette beanie, you learn a lot of different skills with a stockinette
beanie.
Right,
you do.
Increases, decreases, ribbing, working in the round. There's, like, a lot of different things that you can learn inside of that little beanie that really it seems inconsequential. But when you're new to knitting, it teaches you a lot.
Checking some boxes.
Yes. So I don't. So, like, that, I think maybe that it's maybe less of an ethics question.
I told you at the start of this, I have very conflicted feelings because I can definitely see it on both sides. When I say I'm playing devil's advocate, like, I'm not even sure as I'm sitting here which side I'm on.
So I don't know if there is a side.
But I think, right, but I think also there is the whole, I don't think there's a problem with putting a price on something that you graded and you put together. I am definitely going to side-eye you if you then turn around and somebody who does the same thing and you try to say, well, they stole that from me.
Yes.
If you're taking a simple stockinette beanie. I think that's pretty universally, like, what is wrong with you? Unless, again, they took your pattern, took your name off it, slapped their name on it, and put it online. Without, you know, actually.
Oh, yeah, no, those pictures
were
using the pictures you use, and they, like, cut out your watermark. Yeah. That's the top half of the hat, so they don't see you're the one wearing it.
I don't know. I kind of look at it more like, and we've all done things like paid more money for convenience. I have a pretty terrible problem with the Grubhub. Like, for example, I could go pick that up. But I'd rather somebody pick it up for me. Like, so, you know, some days it's like, yeah, I could sit down and I could math out doing a stockinette beanie. But you know what? I don't feel like doing it. And if I want to pay somebody money to do it for me, I don't know if that's taking advantage, I guess. I don't know. This is why I'm torn. Like,
so here's where it's all a matter of. Okay, so, like, using the crochet chain bracelet as an example, if it is literally, like, you pay $6, because you don't see any of these patterns until you pay it. So you pay $6, and it's like, okay, chain until it'll fit around your wrist, and then bind it off and sew it together. No. That's, no. Now, if you pay for $6 for this, it's like, okay, here's how you do a chain stitch. Now, if you measure your wrist, if your wrist is like 6 inches, you're going to want to chain
more
stitch
legit,
this
yes.
many
so
stitches.
So if it's actually more of a tutorial.
More of a tutorial.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Like, yes. But yeah, if it's these just like, okay, chain stitch till it fits your hand.
Yeah. So, okay. So, okay. I'm going to use, again, my patterns as an example. And the reason why I'm doing this is because I know my patterns, yeah, right? Fair. So my very vital, I don't know about this wristlet thing. Yeah, I just saw it and I went, wait, what? But even I know how to do that. But for the high-vis cowl. Right? Mm-hmm. It's a brioche cowl.
Yeah.
I don't teach you how to brioche in that. And that's why it's free.
And that's why it's free.
I'm right. not saying yeah. this is how you bark and this is how you burp.
Yeah. There is like an extent of you should know how to do
you
this
know what?
Before
you
do it, you this.
Can
gotcha.
Look, you can
or
look
you can
up
look
bark
up.
And burp, but you, I'm not going to teach it for you.
I thought you were making those words up. I legitimately had
bark,
no idea.
Bark,
no, I've
no,
never
yeah,
done brioche. I had no idea what that was.
No, it's like
I thought you were just being weird.
It's brioche brioche knit and brioche purl is the so they
oh.
it's BRK and BRP, so it's bark and burp.
I had no idea. I've never tried it.
No, but to an extent you still did do the math for how high it is and how wide it is. So, yeah. Like, if you did want to charge an amount for that, that would make sense. Now, I might side-eye you if you're like, yeah, $20 for this pattern. I might be like, Tina, what?
Jess, this is an exclusive Louis Vuitton.
Listen, it's Louis Vuitton. It's the tape roll bracelet from, for $5,000.
From his neon season, because remember, it's the high viz.
Have you seen that? Speaking of, that was cracking me up. So I'm wearing a scotch tape bracelet, and I'm like, I've been doing that since I started working at the store. Like, why aren't I getting 10 grand for this bracelet?
Because
I
didn't do it. Like, you didn't sell it.
Through Hubert for $50, guys. I could get a whole six pack of them. We could all be like top of the line fashionistas over here.
It's the same reason why Kanye West can charge like $200 for an undershirt.
But you know? What? Luxury brands is actually a really good example of the same kind of, okay, thing, yeah. What is your personal ethos? Like, where is your personal ethics? And that's kind of what is right and wrong, because everybody's is different. Everybody's is different. For me, I'm going to go pick up the food. For you, you don't want to pick up the food.
I'm a lazy jerk.
You don't want to pick up the food. Me, I would go pick up the food.
I'm a lazy jerk.
I would like, I want my $4. I'm very cheap.
Listen.
But cheap supersedes lazy.
It really depends. It just depends.
You know what?
If it's a Saturday night and the kid is like not feeling it, I don't feel like putting her in the car.
But I think that's why it kind of, that's why it's murky. Because your definition and my definition, Andrea's and Jet, we all have a kind of a slightly different take on what we think is right, quote unquote, or wrong.
People are going to pay for what they think has value for them.
Correct.
Right. Exactly. And for someone that's like, I really don't feel like doing the math, I'll spend the $4 to get this pattern. Mm. You know, that's worth it to them. Now, to Jess's comment about bait and switch patterns. Unfortunately, I have not seen too many of these on Ravelry, or, you know, where they don't tell you until you buy it. Like, they don't give you certain parameters until you buy the pattern. And I don't mean things like the pattern, like the stitches itself, but like when they don't list in the thing, like, these are the techniques you should know before you do this, or this is a top down sweater instead of a bottom up, or you're gonna need X amount of yardage. Like,
didn't you, Jess, buy a pattern and it was just the color chart? It didn't even give you how to do the mitten.
Yeah,
because that's bait and switch.
That I find unethical.
I had just sort of, I guess this is what I'm doing for the cuff. I guess it needs a cuff somewhere.
Well, a cuff, a thumb, a decrease.
Like, it should have just been like,
just like, this is where you put the thumb. I'm like, I guess I'm doing it this way.
Because, like, I feel like that should have been, I'm selling you a color work chart.
Right.
Yeah. Yes,
and you can put this on anything. You can make a scarf with it. You can make a hat.
That would have been fair.
That, to market that as this is a mitten pattern.
There's not even a gusset.
That's unethical. And, I mean, that's one of the things I really like about the Ravelry, like, you know, the categories that you can put in when you go to do a pattern. Like, you can say, hey, this has bobbles, or this has you know, stranded color work or steeking or whatever. But those are the kind of things that you should put up front before you sell a pattern.
What are the elements in the pattern?
Right. What should you be expected to know before you do this? What's the difficulty level?
Or need, even, like, because sometimes you'll get the pattern, you think you have all of it, and this one's minor, but it's like, then you go into it and it's like, oh, PS de cast on, you actually need this size needle. We only told you about this other size needle before you bought it, so now it's like, now I gotta go find this needle. Again, that's a minor inconvenience, but just something to be like, maybe, like, I know what you're putting in there.
I know designers that I won't call out right now that won't put the stitches, the type of stitches they're using, because they're afraid if they put it in the summary, I put mine in the summary. There's a list at the bottom, all the stitches, stitch types I use in the pattern, so that if you don't know something or it's not something you want to do, you can skip it. You're like, okay, I'm not going to do this. It just says like, oh, there's knit togethers and noops and there's never noops, but whatever.
Yeah,
but
they're good. But there are that's smart.
There are designers.
And they didn't tell me there was a noop to be prepared. I'm really mad. Okay, I at least want to know.
No, but there are designers that won't do it because they feel like that will allow you to steal
to
their
sit
work.
Down and do this. No, like that is so much work.
Oh,
no,
there's a noop. Let me look at this tiny picture.
I am a lazy. Listen, listen. I can't do fifth grade math. Like that's a confession right here. I am not mathing out how to do your pattern just so I don't have to pay the $6 to download it.
Hold on,
that is not a thing I'm gonna do.
I need to get into my persona.
Oh God.
Let me flick my hair real quick.
Flick your hair.
So like Meg, you don't understand. Like I am a fantastic designer and everybody wants to steal my work. So I don't want to let everybody know what's going on.
this is me. Like if there's ever an issue where there's some sort of math in a pattern, I just whine at Jess until she maths it for me because I don't do that. This is not my forte. I can't do it. There is no way I'm reverse engineering anything. And you don't need to be like have my math caliber or lack thereof to just be like that is so much work. Patterns are not, I don't mean to say they're not horrifically expensive, but they're not horrifically expensive. They're not.
They're way underpriced compared to other crafts.
Compared to other crafts, absolutely. Yeah. So I just like don't. But I guess there's also a part of me that's like, man, you want to do all that work? Like, I shine on, you crazy diamond. Like, go ahead.
Like,
that's a lot of work. I don't know why you would ever want to put in that much work.
I feel like I don't know. Unless somebody like physically stole like my PDF design layout, I'm really not going to care. Like if you want to make if you want to make the dot seed beanie and like it's essentially the beanie I made, but like, I don't know, they're flipped or something. And then you have your own like pattern layout and stuff. Like, I literally don't care.
I don't know. Certainly if that would. See. So one of the things and this is maybe a whole other question for you guys. But one of the most common ones I see are people that they want to make a sweater. They don't want to do the trouble of grading. So they buy or they take a colorwork sweater pattern. They copy the same stitch counts. They figure out a colorwork that fits in the same count. And they market it as their own. Is that piracy?
Oh, that's kind of lame. I don't know if that's piracy, but that's because it'd be really hard to prove. Yeah, I think it would be hard to prove.
Right.
But
I think it has something more to say that you're not creating a new sweater. You're just creating a new chart.
Right. Well, and it's also like you're not. You let somebody else do the hard work of grading and testing and especially if it comes in multiple sizes.
Oh, you mean buying somebody else's pattern?
Yes. Taking an existing sweater pattern.
One that you did not.
If you wanna slap different charts in there, by all means, like that's your sweater. I'm talking about like people who take a sweater pattern.
Like
that exists.
Yeah.
Oh.
And you just take it and you find or you create a chart that fits in those same numbers, and then boom, pattern's done. You don't have to grade it. You don't have to even really test it. You can just market it.
That's lame.
I think that's a little shady.
I don't like that.
I don't like it either.
Because you're basically taking half of somebody else's work.
Right. And that's the heavy load.
Yeah.
Like, this is not to denigrate, like, making color patterns. They're a lot of fun, like, to try to play around with color charts and stuff. That's a lot of fun. That's the fun part of making a color work sweater. The crappy part is doing all the grading and the stitch counts and the different weights and, you know, so on and
so
forth. And I feel like that's kind of taking the cheap and dirty way out.
I feel like I'm getting kind of snobbish when it comes to sweater patterns, too. And I'll tell you why. Because I feel like so the Calliope doesn't bother me because it's free. So I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But like, for example, if I'm going to pay for a sweater pattern at this point, you better give me darts. You better give me German short rows. You better give me an ability to adjust the waist, the shoulder, the bust, all custom. Like, I am not paying for it unless you have legitimately went through and given me a lot of freaking options, because I have bought way too many patterns at this point for a garment where all they change is the bust, and they don't consider your cup size. They don't consider like your waist. They don't consider your arms. And then like, you make this thing and yeah, it fits your chest great, but like, I can't get my arms through it because I have excess skin, or I can't, like, my waist, like, it's blooming in my waist because I have a tinier waist than my bust, or like, it's just like, I'm a little snobby when it comes to sweater patterns at this point. And I think it's honestly because I've tested a few now. I liked some of the ones I tested, keyword. And I just feel like at this point, it's like almost like, not saying that like other sweater patterns should be free, but I'm not paying like Boko Bucks.
Choice. Yeah.
Yeah. That's my personal, choice. I am not going to pay Boko Bucks. And when I say Boko Bucks, I mean like over $10 for a sweater pattern that doesn't have an extensive amount of work done to it.
Well, yeah, because if you're spending the time and the money and the energy to make yourself custom clothes, yeah, like you want them to custom fit.
And I think honestly, it's because I'm getting bougie with my own pattern. So, and I'm not even doing garments, I'm doing accessories. And if my accessory, if I can make enough options in my accessories, I feel like you can do it with other things too. Like, take the time. And if you're not going to take the time, price it accordingly. Like, and that's fine. Like, you don't have to take the time. You don't have to make it. You don't have to make it size inclusive. I don't. And I know that's a terrible thing. Like, oh, God, come after me. I will support every size inclusive pattern that I see. I think it's really important. But if somebody doesn't want to do it, that is their choice. I hope they price it that way. And I hope they deal with the fact that there's people that are not going to buy it because it's not size inclusive. But it's, again, every designer has their own choice of how they're going to put out that design and that pattern, and then you choose as a consumer based on how they're presenting. Okay, like this, I'm gonna buy from this person because they do all this extra stuff, that it is size inclusive, it is this, it is that. I know this person's just gonna give me a chart for my mittens and like nothing else. So I'm not gonna buy any further patterns, or, you know, like whatever. Like, I think it's,
well, and I think to an extent you need to own that,
yeah,
as well. We've gotten as dyers, we've had some feedback that people wish we would offer more non-superwash. It's not our forte.
I don't like
that. It's something that we have tried. We do have two non-superwash options. We don't enjoy it. Like, we've tried it. We really struggle with it. It's definitely not our forte. And we don't hide behind that. We've been very open with this. Yeah. Is not something we enjoy doing. There are so many wonderful yarn dyers that do that. And we do not, you know, if that is what you are looking for, like, man, I can give you a list of people, yeah, that I absolutely love that I would 100% support. But I'm not going to sit here and cry and be like, oh, you know, we lost these people. Like, they don't want to shop from us because we don't use enough non-superwash. It's like, that's our
choice.
They don't
like that we use acid dyes. It's like, that's fine,
and
too.
That's fair. That's a preference. Fair.
Yep. So, it is. We're not going to be like, well, that's awful. You should like acid. And it's like, no, you don't
people
have to.
People are allowed to have preferences, exactly, but you don't have to cater to them.
Exactly.
Well, and it's, but that's the thing. It's like, I don't have to cater, but I also don't have the right to complain.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like,
that's the ticket. Yeah. That's the ticket.
We have made a decision and you have made a decision, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But then it's own that choice.
Yeah.
Own the decision that you have made.
Yep.
Because you don't get to tell the rest of the world how they have to behave. You can only choose how you behave.
And I think that, yeah. And I think that gets back to the whole, like, you know, is it ethical? Is it not? Is it whatever? I think we've established what illegal is, which is basically just stealing and
straight
putting your name on it.
Plagiarism.
Just straight up plagiarism. But like, in terms of being ethical or not, you're right. It's at that point, it's, you're going to do what you're going to do. And based on your own ethos, what is, you know, the answer is going to be based on what's important to you.
You have no right to tell other people what you need to them.
No.
Unless they're legitimately plagiarizing your stuff.
Listen, if you don't, but again, if you don't see your head cut off,
then you're also making a t-shirt. Guys, t-shirts existed, okay? T-shirts are older than everybody
now. No, and I think there is something also to be said for, like, color work motifs. Or, you know, if somebody chooses a leaf motif.
Oh, God, the
and
leaves.
And you have a leaf motif. I mean, there are, if I put leaf motif into Ravelry, I'm going to get 10,000 patterns. Like, you know, I think if there is...
The colors motifs. Of the wind.
But I mean, like, I think maybe it's like, and also take a breather. And I think this is something that I have struggled with a lot, is take a breath, think. And one of the things that I tell my kids, because I teach politics and that gets real contentious at times, is try to remember or try to at least go into everything not assuming the worst out of the person that you feel a problem with. Try to go in with imagining the best of intentions. They didn't plagiarize. Unless your head is literally cropped off. But like, yeah, it's like, okay, so maybe they also had the idea to do a leaf motif sweater. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're plagiarizing. And I mean, granted, if you get pushback and they're like, hell yeah, I did steal it. Like, what are you going to do about it? Yeah, then you can be upset about it. But again, guys, knitting is so old and it's been around for so long.
There's only so many ways that you can put stitches together.
There's so much that isn't. And I really do feel like going into every interaction, elbows up, ready to fight, and assuming that everyone out there is about to steal your product. It's just, I don't know. I think that's going to cause more grief than it's going to heal.
I feel like most people don't care enough.
I feel like it serves to cause a lot of isolation, too.
If you're going to go as far as to steal... I mean, if you want my personal advice, I think if you're going to be a thief, be a good thief, you know? Like, let's look at it from the thief's point of view, okay?
My D&D character really is listening to this right now.
Okay, all right, listen, Raya.
I'm
actually being serious, and I'm saying if you're going to be a thief, be a good thief. And that what I mean by that is if you're going to go through... with, okay, I'm going to buy this pattern. I'm going to, like, be lazy. I'm not going to do any of this work. Then, shoot, the work you should put in is to make it look like you did it.
Right?
Like, do the extra
shift and increase. Like, change a word somewhere.
Like, come on. Like, if you're going to go with, if you're going to be lazy.
Take somebody else's picture, even if it doesn't make sense. And throw it in.
If you're going to be lazy in the stealing, okay, and not do the work there, you should do the work.
So,
in making it not look, it's so, just like when people
coaching
take,
future thieves.
It's just like when people take ChatGPT to write an essay for school. Ready? Meg's gonna love this. And then you take the essay, and you're like, okay, I'm not just gonna copy paste it from ChatGPT. I'm gonna like go in and like change some words and like, you know, do this thing.
I'm not gonna feel bad about telling this story because it's about a college student. She's an adult, so
okay,
I don't feel
go.
Bad. My favorite ever plagiarism story. It's my favorite. I was teaching college, and I asked my kids to write an essay about literally anything, like to do with American history. Like they could pick any topic, and they had to connect it to American identity. Like, how did this help us become a country and form an identity? Somebody wrote theirs on the Boston Tea Party.
I love this story.
It's a great story. And she definitely plagiarized it, and I could tell because you can tell, especially when you've had a student all semester. But she did that ingenious thing that kids do where they think they're being really slick. And unfortunately, ChatGPT, like, they don't have to do this anymore because I can't just take a line and put it in Google and there pops up the article.
Right, yeah.
What she did was she took an article off Google and she strategically changed words, but the word that she changed was tea.
Wait,
and
what?
She changed it to Boston Beverage Party through the entire essay. The entire essay was the Boston Beverage Party. And I was like, oh, my God.
The BBP, guys. The BBP.
That was my favorite. And it was
scandalous.
Oh, my God.
The beverages that they threw.
And it literally took me like 5 minutes of sitting there and looking at it to be like, oh, my God, that's what she means by this. Like, what on
earth?
You're
just sitting there like, what is she talking? What? Beverage party.
I was really confused. But yeah, like that's, but I think honestly, I was thinking about that before when we were talking about like, you know, notes and stitches, but it's the same with writing in that unless you're Shakespeare, you're not making up words. But if you take an entire sentence or an entire paragraph that somebody else wrote and you don't credit it, we all, I hope, accept that that is theft.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. That is dishonest. It's not your work. So wouldn't that apply to crafting as well?
Hold on. Let me put an asterisk on my whole segment back there. So my asterisk. Yeah, this is going to be misquoted, and then people are going to be like, she's a thief. No. So here's my asterisk is that entire segment was a joke, and you really shouldn't thieve from people. I hope you understood the sarcasm, everybody. But welcome to the show.
Oh my God.
A++.
Oh God.
I don't support thievery. Well, I'm just saying, if you're gonna be lazy, Dan. Or Dan.
Be less lazy.
Why did I say Dan?
Yeah, Dan. Who's Dan?
Yeah, Dan.
Why did I say
I think it is one of those things like with conscience of if it doesn't feel good, you probably shouldn't be doing it.
Mm. I agree with
you. You know? Do what you do with your craft.
That this doesn't apply to sociopaths, by the way.
I know, but still,
they have no feelings.
But if there is something in the back of your head telling you this is not right, you should probably listen to that.
Yeah,
to the little voice. Yeah, I'm just saying.
Things these days are not unique in the knitting world.
Correct. Rarely.
Very rarely. Are things unique in the knitting world today. You can't copyright your stitches, but you can copyright your patterns.
Yes.
And if you see a pattern and you like it, you should pay somebody for it if they put the work in for it, and that's what they're asking for.
You should give them what they want, which if free is what they want, free yeah, is what they free. Get.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. And yeah. You shouldn't steal.
Don't be a thief.
God. If it feels wrong, it probably is wrong.
I agree.
That's it for this week's topic. For additional content and opportunities to connect with us, the cast, check out our website at pardonmystash.com. Be sure to tune in next time for more laughs, love, and llamas at Pardon My Stash.